AviationPros.com is the portal website for AMT, Airport Business, and Ground Support Worldwide magazines. Visit daily for breaking news, industry blogs, and insightful articles from our magazine's editorial team. And don't forget to sign up for our publication's daily e-newsletters. It's all at AviationPros.com.
Hello and welcome to the Aviation Bros podcast. I'm Christina Marsh, editor of Airport Business, and today we're sitting down with AeroCloud Vice President of Global Sales, Jeff Gore, to talk about an article recently written by AeroCloud CEO and co-founder, George Richardson. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me. Pleasure.
So Jeff, for those who don't know you, would you mind just giving a little bit of an introduction about yourself?
Sure. Again, my name is Jeff Gore, and I am the Vice President of Global Sales for AeroCloud. And much of what I do is work within the commercial operations side of things. And in particular, I oversee our customer base to ensure that our customers have the operational expertise and experience that they need from our organization to maximize the efficiencies within their airports.
Wonderful. So today we are here to talk about the missing tech piece in the Biden infrastructure bill. So there was an article that was recently done that we had published, and we're just kind of doing a little bit of a follow-up on that today. So regarding the infrastructure bill and airport priorities, Jeff, how do you perceive the impact of President Biden's bipartisan infrastructure bill on the U.S. aviation industry, particularly in terms of airport infrastructure improvements?
Great question. It's interesting because I am talking to airport folks all the time and with the operational side of things, whether they be on a day-to-day operational side overseeing and managing the infrastructure from an operational standpoint financially. And what's really apparent to me right at the moment that many of the airports that we interact with right at the moment are still in a situation where they have legacy-based technology, And then secondarily, they're now in a situation as well, too, where they're trying to keep up with the digital transformation that has happened. 89% of the U.S. airport leaders report that securing these grants from the Biden administration is just an important commercial priority. And when I think about our customer base right at the moment, recently Des Moines Airport received about a $10.8 million grant to replace an antiquated terminal that they have that is no longer meeting the needs of the airport efficiency. So that the coupling, if you will, between our platform that really is a intelligent airport management solution, as well as balancing on the infrastructure that folks are using from a capitalization standpoint, is really where these airports need to go to ensure that they are improving their efficiency and meeting the needs of the more demands that are happening from a customer standpoint and from a passenger standpoint.
So regarding challenges in the U.S. airports, so according to the article, no U.S. airports currently rank in the top 25 globally. How do you think that this impacts wider supply chain operations and the overall passenger travel experience?
You know, that's a really interesting question in that I'm obviously a customer as well, too, and a passenger. And in being that I look at things very objectively when I'm traveling through airports, whether they be large hubs, whether they be regionally based airports as well, too. And while we may not be from a U.S. airport standpoint in the top 25 globally, of course, I've had international experience from a traveling standpoint as well. What's encouraging to me and exciting to me is that the leaders within the airports within the U.S. right at the moment, across all of the airport sizes, whether they be small, whether they be provincial and or regional airports and the hubs, is that they realize right at the moment that there's increasing demands in reference to the customer experience, which is really their passenger. So I see a lot of these leaders, and most recently I was down at the Southeast AAAE chapter experience with the finance administration professionals. They see this as a need. They see this as a challenge that they need to meet head on because they're requiring right now that they're meeting profitability within their airport, and they're doing what they need to do in order to increase the non-aeronautical revenue that is happening as a result of that. So they're taking steps, and those steps that are being taken are leveraging software such as AeroCloud from a gate management standpoint, or frankly from a flight information display system, such that the passenger experience is where it needs to be. So in overall, I think what's happening now is you're seeing a juxtaposition based upon what happened within the pandemic time, to these airport leaders right now that realize that they need to increase the efficiencies, they need to expend the capitalization on that side to meet the needs of the passenger as the demand continues to increase.
With a predicted 150% uplift in air traffic by 2040, what challenges do you anticipate for American airports in terms of capacity and infrastructure?
You know, it's funny. We did a call the other day with a prospective airport that had been referred to us by their CFO internally on that side. And the CFO had asked their leaders, their operational leaders within the airport, to go out and look at machine learning based and IA based capacity increasing efficiency software such as ourselves in really SaaS-based organizations to be getting ahead of where they are. I mean, when you think about the uplift 2040, they need to start thinking about that right now. And I've had this conversation many times, you know, me personally as a passenger, I saw the juxtaposition that, again, to reference that happened in the pandemic timeframe. And really at that point in time, there were some of those airports that were capitalized that took advantage of that time frame to really fast forward the digital transformation that needed to happen. And there were others that did not. And they found themselves in a situation where they're now in a position where demand is back. They need to be more efficiently using the existing infrastructure they have. And they need to think about, okay, what am I doing from an investment standpoint to make sure that I'm having operations are running smoother and more efficiently from an automated standpoint? So I anticipate that the American airports in way of capacity and infrastructure is only going to increase from a capacity standpoint, but I don't know necessarily that they're going to have to increase the infrastructure per se. I think they may be able to offset some of the infrastructure capitalization with intelligent platforms such as ourselves.
Interesting. So building on that, the article emphasizes the importance of coupling physical infrastructure investments with digital transformation. Can you provide some more examples of how technology can enhance airport operations alongside those physical upgrades?
Yeah, happy to. There's a customer of ours that's close and near to the thinking in reference to what you just asked on that side, and a great partner of ours, and that's Des Moines. And Des Moines, if you're not familiar with them, as I made mention earlier in the podcast, received about a $10.8 million grant. They're in a bit of a different situation in that they had a terminal that really was no longer meeting the needs of the airport that was built in 1948, but they were also capitalized based upon the Biden bipartisan infrastructure bill. When you think about that, you need to be very thoughtful in reference to how you split capitalization in reference to physical, which is extremely expensive in building new concourses and opening new gates, or optimizing the existing gate and infrastructure that you have. So when I think about what we can provide in really optimizing their digital transformation, maybe a blended play on that side. So rather than putting all of that capital into an infrastructure development, which is very, very costly, what can you do in reference to putting a gate management system in, for example? And that gate management system will optimize how you are taking advantage of the incoming traffic, outgoing traffic, airlines and obviously planes, such that the passenger is being handled more efficiently and you're minimizing wait times, you're minimizing interruptions in reference to how they are actually servicing their existing customers. So I think that really Des Moines is a great example really of taking a blended play on that side and increasing your physical presence, maybe not as much as need be on that side, as well as putting in technology that can increase your efficiency and get the best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And in addition to Des Moines, Norfolk International Airport was also cited as an example of implementing successful strategies within the article.
Yep.
How do you think that other airports can learn from and apply similar approaches to optimize their operations?
Well, I think what they need to do is they need to look internally first in reference to what the challenge is that they face. I did speak obviously to that at Des Moines, but when I think about Norfolk as an example, that also has our gate management capability within their environment, our flight management system as well too. What they're experiencing right now is they now have 20 new destinations based upon a partnership with Breeze and Allegiant. And that has really increased the level of capacity to roughly about 3.5 million passengers, which is a very nice uptick for that organization. It's less about infrastructure capitalization. It's more about optimizing the efficiencies they have, of their existing infrastructure. And that's when having automated capability day in and day out from an AI and machine learning standpoint, no longer are you reliant based upon legacy-based technology. And believe it or not, working out of an Excel spreadsheet, if you will, but coming in and being in a situation where if there are any interruptions in regular service that may happen, there needs to be a reassignment of a plane to a particular gate. Because we're pulling data from OAG or FAA, we have the most recent up-to-date information on that side. So therefore, we're able to help Norfolk, as an example, be proactive and be in a situation where they're taking advantage of that automated information. So that when they come in the morning, they've got a real good handle in reference to how they optimize the gates for the planes and ultimately optimize the experience for the passenger. And that really is all about efficiency.
How significant do you believe common use equipment and shared resources are in improving the efficiency of terminal operations and accommodating more airlines?
So I'll throw a stat at you from a data standpoint, but I'm sure you're aware of this, but 87% of American airport leaders right now are recognizing that the potential of common use facilities ultimately is going to lower upfront investment required by airlines as an important factor, really in attracting new players to their airport. So again, when you think about the way that the dynamics are between an airport and an airline, if you are in a situation where your passengers are having excellent experiences, then the demand goes up. And if the demand goes up, then obviously the request to the airlines in reference to providing more routes that are associated with that. So when you think about the airport leaders right now, that they're recognizing that they really need to have efficiency within that environment, they know full well that having a common use facility is really, again, going to lower that upfront investment because they're not offsetting that in reference to capital investment as far as pouring concrete and building new terminals and things of that nature. But what they're doing is they're partnering with the airline. And, you know, in the old days, I remember as a young man going to an airport where it would be a certain section where it was only one dedicated airline that could be at gate A1, A2, and A3. And if for whatever reason, there was a flight that was early on that side that couldn't get to A1, A2, or A3, that particular airline at that time and that passenger had a different experience. Today, that's different. Common use means that those gates can now be commonly used by all airlines. So the airport now has the flexibility based upon leveraging that real-time data that if a plane does come in early, if A1, A2, or A3 are not open and there's a common use gate that's agreed upon that can be shared on that side, they have options. And ultimately what that does is it increases the efficiency from a passenger experience standpoint. And secondarily on that side, it's going to optimize the airline experience too, and helps the airport really attract the customers they're looking to attract, meet the needs from a demand standpoint, and keep the relationships with the airlines top of mind and very productive.
So the article mentions challenges related to legacy technologies in airports. How can airports overcome the barriers posed by outdated systems to ensure efficient operations and a positive passenger experience?
Well, I think the first thing that needs to happen is that, you know, airports, need to continue to embrace that there are alternative measures right now that can be taken to really look at outdated systems and increase their efficiencies. When I think about it, at 92% of the American airport leaders right now are reporting that upgrading legacy technologies is really an important priority. Many of the regional airports, as an example, and even some of the hubs as well, too, are talking about the fact that demand is back. There's a need to have more routes coming into the organization from a airline perspective on that side. And believe it or not, this was something that was really astounding to me based upon being part of the organization and joining the company. But 1 in 5 or 43% of these airport leaders are still reporting that in some way, shape or form, from a legacy standpoint, they're leveraging Excel, Word documents, to store and manage a lot of the operational information and even things like what we refer to in the industry as RONs, which are remain overnights, that can be problematic for a gate management standpoint. So I think that really, to me, it's about an awareness, which is why we openly talk about Des Moines Airport and or Norfolk as an example, because I think it can be a best practice. We want to see, we legitimately are in a situation, as you can probably well imagine, we want to help airports become more efficient. We want them to embrace the technology and have a positive passenger experience. A lot of what we do is to make sure that what we would want, Christina, as we're talking about this, I personally want to go through an airport. I want to go through security as quickly as possible. And I want to have a seamless experience so that I'm on the other side, I'm gate side, and I can go have dinner or I can sit down, I can do work very comfortably on that side before my flight. And ultimately, that's going to be putting non-aeronautical dollars into the airport. And it's all about profitability for these folks right now. So I think as they look at it holistically, what they're trying to achieve, ultimately, they have the opportunity to say, okay, well, we need to really think into the future. We need to embrace technology right now as a real game changer for who we are right at the moment and how we juxtaposition how we move into the future. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a lot of folks that, again, reach out to us to say that, you know, it's time for us to be thinking perhaps a little bit more modernized and how we take it into the next level to meet the needs that we have in meeting the customers and our fiscal responsibility as well.
In your opinion, what is the optimal balance between physical infrastructure improvements and digital investments for U.S. airports looking to capitalize on the current boom in air travel?
Well, you know, again, everything we're talking about right now is data. Everything that we do is really optimizing and leveraging that data. When you think about our gate management software as an example, or a system and service on that side, it is leveraging just that. It's providing the SVP of operations, the people that we interact with daily, the data that they need in a real-time capacity to make decisions. Similarly, what I'm seeing right now is that the airport leaders right now look at that data at a much higher level as well, too. I've mentioned Des Moines, but you know, when I think about their split that they did between a balance in infrastructure and replacing an outdated terminal and investing in technology like that of AeroCloud, other prospect interactive airports that we communicate with at events and being referred to folks and things of that nature are doing the same thing. They're saying, okay, great, we've got one physical terminal right at the moment. Does it make sense for us to open an entirely new terminal that can be very costly to an airport? Or based upon the data right at the moment, if we put a common use passenger processing system in or a gate management system in on that side, what will be the increase from an efficiency standpoint? And will that meet the needs of the passenger? So I respectfully have my own opinion, and AeroCloud has an opinion in reference to what's optimal for their environment. But at the end of the day, it's about the airport making sound fiscal responsible decisions such that it's optimal for their success. So I think that what they'll do is to look at the data to say, okay, the existing infrastructure we have right now, if we expand it in May, and we've seen this in a couple of instances where they don't put a whole new terminal in, but yet what they do is they put a new concourse in that has two or three more gates. And by adding two or three more gates, they increase their efficiency. They're able to add more flights in more routes. And in doing so, they're also able to keep up with the capacity that they're reaching as far as the demand. So I think it's really a blend on that side to make sure that the airport leaders are looking at their own data to make fiscally responsible decisions. And then balance, is it a combination of really enhancing our technology basis moving into the future? Do we want to do a full terminal deployment, or can we do a smaller terminal deployment that's going to get us where we need to be in the short term?
What potential consequences do you see for airports that fail to embrace digital solutions and optimizing their operations?
I think really that the demands of the end user being the passenger, ultimately the customer of that of the airport, are just increasing. The interesting thing right now is that we as passengers have gone through a digital transformation. Everybody lives in the iPhone world. Most people are in a situation that prior to going to the airport, they download their ticket. So they're in a situation where they're expecting that they will get through that line very quickly. They'll be on the other side of it, and they'd be in a situation by the gate, I mean by that at the security side, excuse me, and they'll be in a situation where they can sit down, get some work done, or as I may have mentioned earlier, be comfortable before they engage in that flight. The risk that I think an airport is going to have is that if they don't embrace that very soon, they're going to have problems, because what then happens is your queue times go up. And a queue time is simply that if you're not optimizing the efficiency of getting people through security, then you're not getting them to the other side, meaning the gate side, which is really where passengers do spend money. Passengers spend money in things like parking, in things like concession stands, duty-free, things of that nature. And I saw an article very recently where a happy passenger that gets through security quickly and seamlessly spends a bit more. In fact, the difference is an unhappy passenger spends on average about $29 per individual. A happy passenger spends close to $44 per individual once they're on the other side of the security side or the gate side. And I certainly can speak to the testament that I'm one of those people myself. So if the needs of the business, being the airport, are to really generate non-aeronautical dollars and to make the passenger experience a very pleasant one, a optimal experience from a passenger standpoint, they've got to embrace technology to get where they want to go, to meet their own personal objectives. Those that don't, I fear that are going to be behind the time to a certain extent, and they may lose demand. And, you know, in some of the research that we've done on that side, really, I've seen 93% of the airport leaders right now say increasing the revenue growth is a key common priority for each of the airports. And again, that's attracting new airlines. That is boosting the passenger experience, and that's increasing the passenger spending. So there's a choice: either embrace the technology right at the moment as a competitive advantage, or put yourself in a situation where it could be problematic to one of those things, one of the passenger experience or hitting your revenue objectives.
Absolutely. Well, Jeff, you made a lot of really great points, and it was enlightening speaking with you. And I just wanted to thank you again for coming on today to dive a little bit deeper into the article. And again, if you missed the article, you can find it on aviationpros.com. It is Revolutionizing Airport Infrastructure, the Missing Tech Piece in the Biden Infrastructure Bill, by George Richardson, AeroCloud CEO. Again, Jeff, thank you so much.
And Christina, thank you very much for having us represented as AeroCloud on the podcast. It was a pleasure to speak the time. And again, we're very excited about helping airports. We understand the problems and challenges they have, and we hope that we can offer any kind of solution whatsoever to help them get where they need to go.
Thanks again for listening to today's podcast. Stay up to date on industry news, current issues, and information specifically for airports, airport operations, FBOs, and airport-based business by subscribing to Airport Business Daily Newsletter. And as always, please continue to visit aviationpros.com.